A63, number 22B.
All right, let's now try to flow through it again and see how Mrs. Eddy would answer a question like, is there no sin? And therefore, instead of just saying what the practitioner would say and say, well, my dear, there is no sin, and that is the answer. So the answer is right, there is no sin. And we see that at the end of an article, Mrs. Eddy also could say that. But naturally she has to teach. She has to teach so that we would understand why there is no sin. If we only say, well, the teaching of Christian Science says there is no sin, the student either has to accept it by belief, or he can say, this doesn't seem reasonable, and I leave it. I leave Christian Science. So we have to build up the reasoning which leads to that point that there is no sin, and so the reasoning goes through the word order. Can you see what the word order does? The word order is a step-by-step clarification of a answer, so that we have a perfect answer for a question or a proposition. So how do we arrive at that point? Now I just flow through it, taking the terms the way she did. She said, all right, in order to answer that, I must first show at the point of mind that God only creates that which is real and good and lasting and harmonious. God is not the author of something else than what is good. Therefore, if you ask something about sin, I must tell you that sin has not been created by God. Well, why do I have a concept of it? She says, therefore, you see, you have a concept of it. Therefore, sin is only an erring human concept. And therefore, because it is not mind's own concept, it must be an illusion, just a seeming, and nothing more than that. Did I? See? Then she goes further and says, therefore, if it to the second step of spirit, and therefore says, well, because sin has no cause in God, therefore we must dispose of it, we must get rid of it. You must separate yourself from it. You can't carry it along with you. You can't get mixed up with it all along your life. So the second step of spirit says, separate yourself of it, and God does dispose of evil. But she introduces then the why and the how and says, you only can do that through the Christ. You can't do that through willpower or by relying on Jesus, that Jesus will do it for you. You have to rely on the Christ. How? How? How did Jesus dispose of evil? How did he do it? And so she goes to the next step and gives the rule of disposing of evil. So, and says, Jesus did it. How? Through that rule that he had a higher understanding of God. And therefore, with that rule, you can do something. You can then dispose of evil. So we must have a spiritual understanding of God, and that will dispose of evil. That will rule out sin. And the question is, but does it actually work? Do you think that works? Is that really the way you do it? Is that really a rule? Can you really do that way? And so she says, yes, you know, just look at Jesus. And it's the whole paragraph on Jesus. Said, you see, Jesus proved it. And he proved it not by talking about it, but by his acts. He proved it by demonstration. He proved that he could demonstrate the nothingness of evil. He proved that life, truth, and love will disprove sin, sickness, and death. He gave you the proof by demonstration. You could see it with your eyes. He proved it. Okay. So we would say, that's fine, so let's accept it. Let's do it also. Let's be a follower of it. But then she says, the funny thing is, I come to the tone of life, funny thing is that at his time they didn't accept it, and at our time they don't accept it either. Quite on the contrary, they go against it. They go against it. They misrepresent it, they misinterpret it, they mispractice it, they mistreat it. It's all not following the method of life. But, she says at the point of truth, but the mission of the Christ truth is that it must destroy evil. You can't get around that. And therefore Jesus came to not only to destroy, but to fulfill, to see that there is no evil. And so he destroyed evil, and showing by that destruction that evil vanished. He had the sense of vanishing first, that evil vanished from him, so that he could ask, where is now sin? Where is now evil? I can no more find it. I come to the tone of love. I can no more find it. It's nowhere anymore. It has never existed. It has never been. All is actually only truth. And that answers the question, is there no sin? And the final answer is, no, there isn't. But it's interesting to see that, more or less, she would say, we still are in that age where we are not really accepting Jesus' demonstration at the point of principle. Because after that, she doesn't give any more a sense that we have been following it. That's so to say that we all left the subject right there where at the point of Jesus demonstrating it and we not accepting it. And as if she therefore would only say, but I give you the purpose, the great aim, the goal of what the Christ really wants to do. And therefore from that point on only showed the Christ purpose, says, but purpose of the Christ is to destroy. You can't deny that anymore, even if you don't accept it, but that's the purpose, and the aim of it, and what comes out of it is that to show that there is no night there, that there is no evil, that there is no error. Well, that's perhaps the answer. Now, the main thing I would say about all what we have been doing from the point of view of method or of practical application is that we should see that, say, up to the point you were trying to see a line of reasoning in Mrs. Eddy's words, that I'm quite sure that you have read Recapitulation many, many times, or that you have picked up Recapitulation and were reading one question with its answer singularly, perhaps, like this. And I would like to know, whenever you did that before, did you know what she was talking about? Did you feel that when you have read about 2.5 pages, could you feel that you could, that you had a sense afterwards what she was actually reasoning out? I don't think you could. I think I don't go too far by saying that nobody then afterwards knew really her line of reasoning. Which means the same text has a completely different value of information, yields much more information the moment we put order into a text. So that order always is a great creative ability. The moment we can order a subject, we can understand the subject, and therefore it's a creative sense in it. So from this point on, I'm quite sure that I guess you will never forget it anymore. From now on, when you read this passage, you read it easy. You read it, so to say, in a flow. You can follow the red thread that goes through it. And therefore, it's like reading then afterwards a novel or so with the same ease, or practically the same ease. And I have a wonderful story, which is building up in the word order. And you can see why it is the word order, because it's a step-by-step clarification of something that has not been clear, namely a question with a question mark. Yes. All right. We go to the next assignment of text interpretation. It was that question, do the five corporeal senses constitute man? Now, does anybody have a layout of this article? Who would tell us? Yes, George?
Page 488, line 16, mind, through line 31. Spirit, 489.1 through 489.12. Soul, 489.13 through 490.11. Principle, 490.12 through 491.6. Life, 491.7 through 492.6. Truth, 492.7 through 492.21. Love, 492.22 through 493.8.
Thank you. That was stated clearly. Who has another? Yes?
492.6 492.17 492.6 492.7 to 16 492.29 492.30.
Yes, very different, huh? They diverge quite a lot. Somebody else? Yes, have a go.
488, 16 to 12. 489.13 to 23 and 489.24 to 11, next page. 490.12 to 27. 490.28 to 6, next page. 491.7 to 492.21. 492.22 to 8.
Yeah. Again, absolutely different. We really are masters now. Well, who has another one? All right, Jean.
Mine, 488.16 to 489.12. Spirit, 489.13 to 492. soul, 493,
18. Truth, 492, 7. 492, 6. Love, 493, 6. Another one, huh? Yes. You want to try it too? Huh? Okay, we have another go.
All right. 488, 16 to 19.
To 19.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Spirit, 19 to the next page, 489 to line 28. Okay, right in the middle.
Yeah.
All right. 489, line 28. 490, line 12. 490, 12 to the following page, 491, line 7.
Uh-huh. Truth, line 7,
32, right to the end. And 493, 1 to 8 is love.
Yes. Well, we certainly have a mess now. Yes. Actually, it would be interesting to see how each one would, so to say, substantiate their findings, because only then could one really see what is the reasoning and why they arrive at these findings. I have seen mostly that the first tone the first one, whoever it was, I can't remember, had mind line 16 to 31. And then others had, and others usually had it right to the next page, line 12. I have here three that had that, so that seems to be quite a point. Therefore, I will ask first, before we go through the text, whoever it was who had mind from line 16 to 31, what is their epitome? There was somebody, the first one. Who was the first one? Yes.
It was me. I can't reconstruct the epitome.
Yeah. Uh-huh. What it really meant.
Write it down. I did not write it down.
Yes. Then there were three. The three following ones said that mind goes from line 16 to the next page, line 12. What is their epitome?
The first paragraph, I have mind is all.
You mean the first paragraph on which page, on the starting?
488.
Yes.
That first paragraph, I have mind is all.
As all. Uh-huh.
And then the next paragraph, mind opposite of matter.
Yes. Yeah. You still had it as mind, huh? You had it until as far as line 19 or something. 12. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does such an epitome answer the question that Mrs. Eddy asked? Do the five corporeal senses constitute men? I mean, we must have, you know, the text must now answer that question, do the five corporeal senses constitute men? Or you can say, does something else constitute men? Or you can say, what then does constitute men? if the five corporeal senses does not constitute man. You would have to ask the text about that. Huh? Else? Is anybody else who would like to take this whole subject and explain it, what it means? Does it mean that you had difficulty in reading a text?
It was more complicated than the other one.
It is, yeah.
Technology does not really give you, on the surface of it, does not give you the clues.
Uh-huh. I don't know. Yes?
I thought that she went back to mine, and the other tones and subtones, she went back and forth.
She went back and forth.
Yeah, like if she was bridging it, like if she would repeat mine and then come up to
it. Yes, she may do that. She may do that. But actually that we know that she has to make preachers, but always the new information should stand out. Mm-hmm. And also naturally you must see, if she speaks about, do the five corporeal senses constitute man? Now what is corporeal sense? You see, she would always somehow show that the belief of corporeal sense is that you can mingle matter and mind. So in order to bring out the corporeal senses, she does not need always to say corporeal senses or material sense. She naturally also can show that matter has mind. Matter has mind is naturally the corporeal senses. Huh? What are corporeal senses? It's a belief that matter has sensation. What is sensation? A belief that matter has mind. That matter and mind mingle. See, you have to take... She isn't a woman that is so stereotyped that she always would only have to have a few terms at her disposition to bring out something. She therefore can use four corporeal senses. She can use terms that are different and yet bring out. So that's why you naturally always have a feeling that she always goes back to mind and to matter, huh? Because that, those together as an interplay are always the five physical senses. Yes? All right, then let me ask this. The question was, can you see a layout? Is anybody here who can give me with short epitomes the whole flow of the seven? Just the flow in epitomes. Related to the question, do the five corporeal senses constitute man or don't they? Or what constitutes man if the five corporeal senses do not constitute man? What then on earth does constitute man? These are the questions which has to be answered. Is anybody here who has notes on it and says, yes, Max, I can tell you this is very simple. Mrs. Eddy has a very clear, simple language. Yes or no? Oh, you see where we are, huh? That's the point, because you don't know the tonality. Can you see that you have to go right back? We see how difficult it is to get away from terms, and to ask what is the subject under consideration. And the great problem I have is still that, how can I teach the student that he can read the textbook? That's what I would like to see. I don't want that the student just say, Max said so-and-so, Max said so-and-so, Max said so-and-so, Max said so-and-so. Just like yesterday Eva Maria said that the system should be the interpreter, the system must become the teacher and not the person, or the idea cannot stand. So I really don't know what I can do that students can learn how to read, huh? How to read a book. And perhaps the only way we can do it is to exercise it and exercise it together until our head falls off and somehow we get it. All right.